The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. At Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, the Memorial Day summer kickoff is on. Get massive savings all month long. And remember, it's backed by Morse. You can also save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. And there's also special financing available. See the dealer for details and visit EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. At Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, it's official. Summer's here and the savings are heating up. Brian Danahy, general manager at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, has the Memorial Day summer kickoff. Take advantage of holiday offers all month long, like 2018 XT5 crossovers, just $299, zero down. But that's not all. Get 0% financing 60 months on all new Cadillac models. Rush to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or visit EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. See the dealer for all the details. Remember, that's EdMorseCadillacTampa.com. Yeah. Happy Thursday. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com is me. I am with the sage, the great sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Ira Kaufman. Of course, as you heard, we're presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ira, how are you?
Doing well. We got a little rhythm and blues in our background over here. I'd like to thank Panera Bread for supplying the music. It's keeping us up. It's keeping us going, baby.
Come on, like you need help.
Well, I need help because my Sixers are down 3-1. I'm a little depressed. Just a little depressed.
All right, Ira. Well, you know what? I heard you on national radio the other day with Chris Russo. Heard you were there making some noise.
I shocked the man. I shocked the world with that phone call.
Yeah, of course, people don't know him. He has his own channel, Mad Dog Radio, Sirius XM. We're going to get to that because you just drove down the street and called him up and started screaming. But I know you told one of your great stories, and we can't have the good stuff going there when it goes right here on this podcast that is ranked on the top charts, Google Play podcasts, all genres. Unbelievable, Ari. You continue to dominate.
And it's because of stories like this, Steve. They're funny stories and true. And they tell a little football in the bargain.
Absolutely. And on iTunes, where people can subscribe as well, you're number one among the Bucks-related podcasts, no matter how much these other ones promote. Sage, Sage, Sage. And Podbean, you're there too. Now, they don't like you as much on Podbean. I don't know why.
Well, we'll work on that.
You believe
we'll
that my podcast has more subscribers than yours on Podbean? You believe that, Ira?
You shouldn't have told me that because now I'm really in a depression. Shall I continue with my Bill Parcells story?
No. No, Ira, no. We're going to get to that. First, we're going to get to rookie minicamp.
Oh, rookie minicamp.
Because we're 4 months from the season. These guys are flowing in. Friday, they hit the field. Saturday, rookie minicamp, Ira. First, before we talk about the rookie class and maybe what you want to see, do you have any memory of a rookie camp gone by that was important, that was meaningful, that made a difference?
Well, I'm like you in OTA sessions, underwear, football. I try not to get too excited. Even training camp to a certain extent. I like to see guys in real action. And, of course, even exhibition games, it's tough to judge. You know, I usually take it with a grain of salt, but I like to hear the backstories of some of these rookies. Now, here's the difference between you and me. There are many, but I like to point this out to our listeners because this is an important one.
Many, many, many.
While you are digging up pearls of wisdom on Jack Cici, or Cici, however you pronounce this guy's name, I'm going to be looking at the rookie that really counts for the Bucks in 2018. His name happens to be Ronald Jones. And if Ronald Jones is not a significant player for the 2018 Bucks, those Bucks are in trouble. How do you like them apples, Steven? Ronald Jones is here on a mission. He's here for a purpose. That is, matriculate the ball down the field, in the words of Hank Stram, and do it quickly, because right now, without him, the Bucks have a bunch of grinders. They got grinders, and they got these 12-play 80-yard drives that are very tough to sustain in the NFL. And why do I say that? How could you say that? They got DeSean Jackson. They got Mike Evans. Well, the yards after catch are down, Steve. The Bucks are not very good right now, coming off last season in yards per catch, yards after catch, making the first guy miss. Peyton Barber's Peyton Barber. You know, solid back will give you what's there. Ronald Jones is there in Jason Light's word. It's your favorite word. Juice, baby. Juice. I'm going to look at Ronald Jones. I think he's the key rookie in this class. I'll be shocked if he doesn't make the most impact of any rookie for the Bucs in 2018.
I don't want to mislead fans. There's no pads. It's underwear football, rookie camp. You got the draft picks and maybe, I don't know, 20-something tryout guys, undrafted free agents, guys filling out the sheet. I don't know how many are there. Maybe 40, 35 guys.
You know what they're going to focus on with Ronald Jones? I believe very early, and they're going to hit it very hard, catching the football. He didn't get a lot of opportunities in Southern Cal. Steve, that doesn't mean he can't do it. And when he's the only back in the backfield, they want to get him the ball in space. That's the whole thing. Get him the ball in space. He can make things happen. And he can turn that little skinny post or, you know, shallow flare pass.
I'm disagreeing with you, Ira.
I'm disagreeing with you.
No, because our fan, we're here to talk football. And you know what? I've been thinking about this, and you brought it out of me.
I did.
I had a seed. It was blossoming.
What are you going to say? The only time they throw the ball is going to be the Chuck Sims?
No, not at all.
All right.
Ronald Jones, he's coming into an offense, Ira, that is in its fourth year with the coordinator. A very mature offense. 4 years, coordinator, quarterback, veteran weapons everywhere, veteran line.
Mature offense. Have you seen the 2017 Buck highlight film? What kind of mature offense?
Hey, led the NFC in first downs. That's an immature offense? Get out of here, Ira. Listen, the point is, this is an advanced playbook, a very advanced playbook. And they're not dialing anything back for Ronald Jones. That's just the reality. What Dirk Cutter wants to see out of this kid is, I guarantee you, study the playbook. Know your playbook. I need to know you know the playbook. Ronald Jones, you're 20 years old. That's what he is, Ira, 20. Getting that playbook. There was a neat story. I hope you go and look at it and click on it, Ira. Out of Auburn, Peyton Barber went to school in the spring. He's committed to graduating, took a full course load this spring at Auburn. And they did some interviews with him there. And the guy penned a lovely old school feature on him. A lot of good stuff in there. But one of them was the day that he made the roster from the practice squad when Dirk Cutter cornered him in the hallway and said, "Peyton, we've promoted you. You're up this weekend. Playbook. Playbook, playbook, getting that playbook." Now, what do we know about Jeremy McNichols, the guy who got cut? Playbook, 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 Snoop Dogg McPlaybook. That's why we call him that. Cutter, I think one of his things with these young running backs is, man, I'm running a highfalutin pro set here, and we've got all the bells and whistles. You got to know that playbook.
Yeah, and one of the bells and whistles is catching the ball out of the backfield.
I know, but I just think that right out of the gate.
They're not mutually exclusive.
No, I know. I just think out of the gate.
You can have your beak in the playbook, and you can have your ass on the field catching balls from Jameis Winston.
I got you, but I guarantee you, starting this weekend, that Cutter is going to want to be testing this kid. How much can he absorb? How quickly can he absorb? They're going to use him. They're going to pound the rock and see what he's got as practice gets on going with pads and preseason. But Cutter, he's old school. He's got to know that the rookie can handle the playbook.
I don't disagree with that. You know, blown assignments infuriate Cutter, and justifiably.
And they injure people. Namely quarterbacks.
I understand. But I think there's some untapped pass receiving potential in Jones, and I think the Bucs see that.
Big time.
And then, they're not going to work on it on day one of rookie minicamp. But as you know, OTAs proceed, training camp, You'll see him catching some flare passes, and he's got to show that he can do it.
Yeah, and Ira, I was disagreeing with you on the emphasis, but you know what? Reality is you are right, because there's not enough film out there of Ronald Jones catching the ball. So they want to see, you know, what his hands really look like, you know, through a few days of practice, and then they get into OTAs.
You know, most Buck fans are going to be curious about the first-round pick, Vita Vea. In rookie minicamp, and you've done a little research on young Mr. Vea.
Yeah, there's a nugget here on Vea that I want your sage wisdom on. You always make a face when I say sage. You
know, well, like, I don't want it.
Is
want
your
it
wife
to,
bringing you down?
I don't want it to go to my head over there, you know.
It's too late.
I come home, and, you know, she won't call me sage. What can I do? She won't do it. The dog looks at me, you know, that's not a look that says you're the sage. Dog says, you know, take me for a walk. And little Dante, he's losing his sight. He's bunking into things left and right. You know, if I was a real sage, I could cure his cataracts like that. Boom. Instead, it's $5,000 a cataract, so I don't think you'll be seeing Little Dante improved too much.
Ira, if you want me to, should I make a call right now? There are some very generous people in our audience, dog-loving people.
Nobody's taking that dog away from me, Isbits. Nobody.
No, no, I'm not. I'm not asking if somebody wants to buy the dog, but you know what? If somebody wants to donate for Dante's surgery to have his eyes repaired.
Oh, look at you. Look at
hey,
you.
Hey, you know, people do stranger things. And they know you love that dog. He's part of the podcast.
Well, he's eating. That's what we look at. Does he eat? You know, when a dog doesn't eat, that's a bad sign.
I know. I've lost my share of dogs. I have my dog's 12 right now. So, but he's in fine shape, but he's 12. I know
Dante's 14 and a half.
Dante's 14. All right. Didn't mean to bring down the podcast, talking about old dogs and pets.
I understand.
So
anyhow, you say Vita Vea, something about Vita Vea.
Vita Vea. Speaking of dogs, big dogs, I guess he would be the Alaskan Malamute of the Bucks. Vea, there's nothing for him to do in rookie minicamp other than run around, hit the sled, and they'll get a look at his conditioning because nobody hits anybody until the pads come on in training camp. So conditioning will be interesting for Vea. You know, we've talked about that in past podcasts.
You'll be introduced to Tampa Heat shortly.
Quickly. Yeah, it's been darn hot. I was talking to one of the Bucks the other night at that bowling event. I'm not going back to the bowling event, but one of them said, you know what? And yeah, you love these nuggets. This is such an Ira Kaufman nugget. One of them, I am not going to give his name because it wasn't that kind of conversation. He said, when we walk out of that building, everybody turns to the right and looks at that flag, and if that thing is not blowing, oh, my Lord.
That's outstanding.
That's how you know it's going to be one ugly day.
You know, speaking of climate, and I know you didn't want to get into this, but it's worth mentioning at least, some Daily News writer, and I believe the guy's a clown, he's Mr. Controversial, he's always stirring things up.
Manish Mehta.
I believe he used to do the Jets. Now he's doing the Giants. You know, he does each.
Oh, he's still on the Jets, I think.
He does each of them a disservice, in my opinion. But he wrote a story the other day about the new Bucks kicker. You know, and he's crying that the guy's soft because the only reason he left the Jets was he wants warm weather and he can't take the weather at MetLife Stadium. Doesn't have a quote from anybody. His sources tell him that that's the reason that the guy signed. He probably signed because the Bucks gave him a good contract. How do you like that, Mr. Mehta? That's usually the case in free agency, and I believe it was the case here. So climate can go in a lot of directions. According to Mehta, this guy couldn't wait to get down into the Tampa Heat, where other guys are looking at the flag.
Did you read that whole story, Ira?
I read it.
If anybody hasn't seen it, it's on JoeBucksFan.com. I mean, it's the New York Daily News, and it's great comedy. They roasted Catanzaro, the Bucks' new kicker.
Throw a headline on it, you know.
They roasted him. I mean, it was over the top tabloid.
And it had no meat to it. The story, it had no quotes, had nothing.
Well, I can sum up the story for you. A source, a.k.a. the guy's agent, told me he went to Tampa because, you know, he couldn't wait to get out of the weather. And he's not a New York kind of guy. And they paid him. We took it. He couldn't wait to leave. And then he proceeds to go on and basically call the guy soft and all kinds of words.
Yeah.
Says that he needed the Costanza Gore-Tex coat and that he's, the P word and all this other stuff.
Traitor, you know, that was the implication. Traitor to the
but
Jets.
I took it as good news, Ira, because you know what? They don't write that story. Even Manish there, he doesn't write that story if, one, the Jets didn't want him back, their kicker, and if the fans, the readers, weren't of the same mind.
And
that,
if
hey,
they would have said good riddance to him, he don't write that story.
Right, exactly. So, and if the prevailing thought among fans was, we don't want this guy, he never writes that story, so I felt good about that. But it was hilarious.
Back to your big defensive tackle. What kind of nuggets did you come up with about Mr. Vea?
Oh, Vea.
You've been looking at his college tape, Stephen.
I've been looking at college tape, Ira. I've been looking at other stuff. You know, I spend more time, I find, personally. It's a thing for me. I spend more time on the draft after the draft. I'd rather study the guys I know are going to be here than...
I didn't see you do a 7-round mock draft like the rest of these hoople heads.
I've just never been in the mindset of, oh, you know what? Let me study these 97 guys and waste all this time and sprinkle 40 minutes on this guy and watch...
And the Bucks get none of them.
I'd rather watch 20 hours of the guy they actually draft.
Yeah.
And so I've been doing a lot of that. And Vea...
Some of his tape's impressive, Steve.
He's an athletic freak. There's no denying that. And
he's got a high motor.
He's got his share of impressive stuff. But in his college career, Ira, 15 tackles for loss. That's a very, very low number. However you want to slice it, 3 years, 15 tackles for loss, very low. You can pluck all kinds of nobody names who have more. Gerald McCoy had, I think, 40 in his 3 years. For a guy of Vea's athleticism and a guy of Vea's disruptiveness and all this other stuff, it's just not a big number. And
you know what it speaks to, Steve? You know what it might speak to? The notion, and it's fairly prevalent out there among the scouts, that Vea's chief attribute is as a facilitator. A facilitator, in other words, he's not the guy that's going to end up making the tackle, but he's going to make it a lot easier for McCoy or Pierre Paul or Golston or Bo Allen or Unrein to make the tackle by being disruptive. And by the way, it's not a bad week to be disruptive in week one in New Orleans up the middle, because so many teams have tried, Steve, and so many teams have failed. They go into a game against the Saints saying, Breeze loves to step up into the pocket at the end of the play. Yeah. Loves to step up. We got to do the interior pressure. Easier said than done, Steve. It's difficult. And Vea might be a guy that might be able, you know, working in conjunction with McCoy, they might make some hay there.
It doesn't take away from his athleticism, Ira, and his ability. It's just when you more you watch and then you look at the number, you realize that, you know, he didn't make as many plays as you would have hoped.
He didn't have the sack total.
But
either.
I understand he's there to disrupt. He's there to change the game. He's there to draw double teams and be accounted for. I get all that. I'm not down on Vea. I'm just a little surprised. And you don't need – you can look at all the other guys at his position, and you're going to find guys with similar or better numbers who aren't nearly as heralded. It's just something to think about. But you mentioned New Orleans, Ira, so that means I'm going to mention that everybody – needs to get on board. If you want to go to New Orleans for opening day, this is the way to go with the fan retreat, Stick Carriers, Bucks Uncensored, Joe Bucks Fan, Ira Kaufman. You still going,
Ira? The commish.
You still going, Ira?
Of course. The Kemper may show up.
Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Text TAKEOVER to 345-345. That gets you on fan retreat's list. They're going to send you the information as the details get finalized and become available, so we can all head up there together. And it's going to be the night before. Sage is going to be giving a speech. The commish is going to be firing everybody up. Stick Carriers. Can you just imagine what that's going to be, Ira?
In an enclosed area? Oh, boy. The beer's going to flow,
the
Steve.
The drinks will be flowing. Bourbon Street, or maybe off Bourbon Street.
You know, I'm going to pick the hotel, and I'm going to see if they have a beet salad. No beet salad, no Stick Carriers. How do you like that? I got my scruples over there. I say. And you're not going. You're not going to Crescent City, Stephen.
That is not a trip that's on my list, Ira. Right. I got plenty of trips
you
on my list.
You might go to Chicago. I mean, we never know. You never know.
I'm finalizing my list, but when I do, I will be booking through fanretreat.com, because you can book all your travel there. You can get all your event tickets, Lightning tickets, Bette Midler tickets, Bruce Springsteen tickets, all your favorites, Ira, Molly Hatchet, whoever you're listening to, Deep Purple's 50th anniversary.
Paul Simon's doing a finale, concert tour. I believe he's stopping at Amalie Arena. That'll be on there.
There you go. So fanretreat.com, all your tickets. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code, but text TAKEOVER to 345-345. Now, Ira, let's just get right to Tony Dungy. Father Dungy, the next Buccaneers Ring of Honor. It was announced, of course, we already knew that this was coming down. It was the easiest thing to predict going, but it's official now. Dungy, September 24th, Monday Night Football against the Steelers. He's going to go into that Ring of Honor. It's week three of the season. Your thoughts, obviously, you know Tony extremely well. You covered him. You spent time with him. You got him into the Hall of Fame.
I don't want to open a hornet's nest on this beautiful podcast. It's a lovely May evening, but I believe I could make a case, and I believe it would be a compelling case, that Dungy should have got in before Gruden. Here we go, Isbitz. I don't think it's a big deal. As long as they put Dungy in this year, I'm not going to fight it. Gruden's got the hardware. Nobody can take that away. Dungy changed the culture. Nobody can take that away. People forget what Dungy stepped into in 1996. It's easy to forget. Some people weren't here. Some people want to forget, you know, including the 96 season, which was his first, and it was his only losing season as a head coach. So now, go into 1997, Dungy's second year. 14 straight double-digit losing seasons. It has never been done before in NFL history, and it has never been done since. Never. I use that as a big part of my presentation.
Sure.
In the, you know, the Dungy Hall of Fame thing. It's never been done, Steve. There's been a lot of terrible franchises in the league history. You know, everybody has their cycle when they're down, including the Patriots, who weren't always great, you know. It's never been done before. Anyway, that Johnny Carson with the jokes and everything. Now, I wrote a column on Wednesday, Steve, about Dungy, and I took the tack. The reason he's got a busting can, the number one reason, he's a historically winning coach. Historic. His winning percentage is top 10 all time. People don't know that. All time. Yeah, he had Peyton Manning, but he also had Trent Dilfer and Sean King. So, you know, we got to be honest here. Got to be fair. But my column is about the culture and how Chuck Noll was Dungy's mentor. He'll be the first to say it. You know, Dungy entered the league as a defensive back with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He has so much respect for the late Chuck Noll, who died, you know, years back. And Noll told him in the very first meeting, you're getting paid now, so you're a professional. That's your job, but it's not your life. There's a lot more to it than just football. Dungy never forgot that. So when he got his opportunity and he got his platform in 96 with the Bucks, and by the way, he had a tremendous relationship, very close, with Malcolm Glazer. Dungy and Malcolm Glazer were very, very close. In fact, they had a famous dinner at Burns Steakhouse, which I think is the night that Dungy got the job. And there was Nick Puglisi standing outside of Burns, outside the dessert room, waiting for Dungy to put the finishing touches on his apple pie a la mode.
A former Tampa Tribune Bucks beat writer at the time, and then he went on to be assistant sports editor, sports editor.
And he's the guy at the Super Bowl who said, you can't pick the Bucks, Kaufman, you got to pick the Raiders. That's the guy. A story that still resonates in the Isbits' mind.
It still sticks in my craw as the most disgusting story I've ever heard.
And we love you, Nick. We love you. We love you, Nick.
You know what? I'm going to resurrect that in the summer, and I'll pull that tape whenever it was. I'll find it. Man, go ahead.
All right. So anyway, so Dungy gave the same kind of speech to his people here in Tampa in 96. And he says within a year, Derek Brooks, Warrick Dunn, John Lynch, guys like that, they all said, we want to get involved with the community. So the whole column is about the community. And I refer to the event that you went to with Donovan Smith. So this is a tradition that's being carried on. We know how involved Mike Evans is, the Gerald McCoys of the world, Levante David. A lot of the veteran Bucks, Vincent Jackson was a big-time community guy. They're very much part and parcel of the community. Now, the difference is that team started winning. And, you know, this town was crazy over their Bucks. And that'll happen again if the Bucks turn it around on the field. But I salute the tradition that Dungy started with getting involved with the community and how it's still a big part of the Bucks. And the Bucks are doing a good job. The community relations department of the Bucks, I think, is very commendable. They're getting guys out in the community. And look, you had a great time this week at Pin Chasers where people had a chance to get up close and personal with Buck players. Go behind the helmet. Go past the helmet. I think that's very important.
It's a little bit of Dungy's legacy, but you know, I don't know. I think it's just sort of a kind of a pissing match to talk about. You know, who gets in the Ring of Honor first?
Just wanted to get your ire. You know, a little shiv to your back there.
I'm not passionate about it either way, Ira.
As long as they didn't make Dungy wait 5 years after Gruden.
Yeah. I think it's just fine the way it is. It is interesting though, for really a historically speaking, a bad franchise like the Bucks. Now they have three head coaches in the Ring of Honor. And didn't they fire all of them? John McKay got fired, right?
I don't believe they fired McKay. I believe McKay retired.
He retired?
After 84, McKay retired. They did fire Dungy. They did fire Gruden.
But that's quite a distinction for all that, all those issues.
Soon we'll be talking about who belongs on the 2019 facade. There's a lot of good candidates.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about before that, Ira. So here's my question for you. Dungy, of course, you know, he will they'll have a little pre-party for him. He'll do his Sunday Night Football duties with NBC. He'll fly in. They'll get together, maybe have a luncheon, you know, with all the ex-Bucks around. He had such a long legacy of assistant coaches and guys he developed. Does Lovie Smith show up, Ira?
If he can. I mean, depending on Illinois' schedule. They're very, very close. They're very, very close. They're different personalities, you know, and they've had different degrees of success as an NFL head coach. Dungy had to go to Indianapolis to win his Super Bowl. Lovie got into a Super Bowl, and it was against Dungy, right? That's the year that the Colts beat the Bears. But, you know, Lovie did get to the and won the NFC title game.
Sure.
I believe he beat the Saints in that game, if I can remember. Anyway, I think Lovie shows up out of respect. Now, current NFL coaches like Tomlin, even Marinelli, guys that were on Dungy's staff.
Tomlin will be there.
You know, that's right. Tomlin will be there. And, of course, they're playing the Steelers, which is the team that Dungy entered the league in as a player. I don't know if you know this, but Dungy did not retire his playing career as a Steeler. Do you know what team he went to after that?
Did he go to the Eagles?
I believe he went to the Giants.
I
believe Dungy went to the Giants. That's another nugget for you to look up. But
I'll look that up. Now, I know Herm Edwards played for the Eagles.
Yes.
And I didn't know that.
Will Herm come in from Arizona? That's a question. Dungy's got quite a coaching tree. It's a very good coaching tree.
Oh, it's extraordinary. And, of course, you know, there's no college football on Monday night, to the best of my knowledge. So these guys are free. I'm not expecting them to charter private planes, but you know what? They could. It'll be interesting. I don't know, would Team Glazer pay after paying Lovie all that money, would they pay for a
private plane? Would Lynch come in from San Francisco after maybe playing on Sunday? That's a tough call.
I think that's an easy call. If he wants to, he could scout the game.
We know 99 and 55 are going to be there front and center. Front and center.
Oh, of course, Rondé Barber will be there, a lot of your icons will be there, and should be a fun day. You know what would be the classiest thing I could imagine, Ira?
Let me hear it.
Classiest thing I could imagine.
I don't think the word classy and you go in the same sentence, but I'm willing to hear it.
I didn't say I was involved. You know, the classiest thing I could imagine would be John Gruden showing up.
Listen to you. That there's no chance in the world that's happening. There's no chance. What kind of an imagination do you have,
I'm
man?
I'm just pushing your buttons, Ira. Pushing your buttons, and you know what?
Gruden could be 0-3 by that point. You think he's going to fly cross country?
He's not coming in. Dungy.
I think Gruden respects Dungy. I do. I don't have any reason to think that he doesn't.
No, I know. He's not coming to Dungy night. I mean, come on. I'm just messing with you. Of course, anybody pushing buttons, if you want to push the classiest and the finest of buttons, EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. Start your shopping search at those websites. Just so great that Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon support all your work here at JoeBucksFan.com. Now, Ira, I'm only going to let you tell one story tonight because I know you got to go.
We'll hold one in reserve.
We're going to hold one in reserve. So let's go to the Ray Perkins story because I think you told the Parcells one before. I'm not sure. But
I don't know that.
I don't know if you did. I know I've heard it.
I told it on the Mad Dog this week. I did. But we'll go with the Perkins
story. To be
story.
Certain that no one's heard it yet, go with the Ray Perkins story, of course. For new Bucks fans, you can give us a minute of a background of who Ray Perkins is. Floor is yours.
First team I ever covered in pro football was the 79 Giants. They had a rookie head coach named Ray Perkins, and they had a rookie quarterback named Phil Simms. And I was working for United Press in New York. And Perkins, after about three seasons, and the first two were bad, but in 81 they made the playoffs. He led the Giants to the playoffs. And in 82... he says he's leaving. He's taking the Alabama job. It's the only job he would ever leave for because it was open, you know, from the great Bear Bryant. And that's his alma mater. So he took it. And Parcells was on the staff, and he succeeded him. Anyway, now we flash forward to Tampa. You know, I get here transferred in 1985 from New York. I'm living in Tampa. My first 2 years, the Bucks went 2-14 each.
Is this when you were living in the swinging singles apartment
Largo.
Building in Largo?
It's called the Chaparral Apartments. If anybody is listening to this podcast that was living there at that time, screw you people. I couldn't sleep because you were partying morning, noon, and night, Tuesday night, 3 in the morning, all kinds of beer flowing, jumping
right,
in the pool.
Her.
Anyway, so now it's 87. Lehman Bennett's been fired. And who gets the Bucks job? Ray Perkins. He walks in the media room at Old Buck Place. He goes, "What are you doing here, Kaufman?" I go, "I was just thinking the same thing about you, Ray." All right, so Vinny Testaverde's the quarterback, the first pick in the draft. And it doesn't work for him in Tampa. It just doesn't work. And his fourth year, 1990, final season. And everybody knows towards the, you know, when December rolls around, he's getting canned. You know, Yukolovs is going to can him. And I remember we were out to lunch. I was out. And UPI at that time was in bad, bad financial shape. And the sports editor, the late sports editor, Paul Smith of the Trib, said, "Ira, I think we're going to be able to bring you on. Give us about a month. You're going to be on staff. We're going to rescue you out of a dying wire service." So I knew that, and I knew I was going to be leaving UPI. And so now it's like December 15th. The Bucks call a news conference. We were at lunch. We got back to the Trib building. I was out with some Trib sports people.
More free food.
I believe we went to Carmine's in Ybor City. That was one of our spots. And they said, "Hey, the Bucks." I think it was a Monday. The Bucks had won the game on Sunday. They beat Atlanta. They won the game. But somebody said, "Kovalhouse is calling a news conference for Monday afternoon." We run out there. Absolutely get in the car and run out there. And we're standing there. My counterpart then and now. Well, not now, but I mean, my counterpart was Fred Goodall from the Associated Press. Very solid journalist, Fred. Very dedicated.
Old school.
Old school. And one day you'll tell about how Goodall and I start going at it in the media room at One Buck Place. And Mark Cook starts playing the theme song from The Odd Couple. And people love it. Anyway, I get out there. Steve, it was going to start at 2, and I'm out there at 1:45. And I say, "What's going on?" And I see Pat Zier from the Lakeland Ledger. Pat Zier. And I said, "Pat, what's going on?" And he said, "Perkins just walked out to his car with his belongings, put it in his trunk, got in his car, he's gone." That's all Zier said. Well, that's all I needed to know. Armed with the knowledge that I would soon be leaving United Press International, I went into the media room. Before Kovalhouse ever got to the microphone, I went on my trash 80, which is what we had in 1990, and I typed out three paragraphs. The first paragraph said, "Bulletin, the Bucks dismissed Ray Perkins Monday, and he leaves with a such-and-such record." And I sent it to the New York office. I sent it. Kovalhouse had not approached a microphone yet. I sent it. And I put a more at the bottom, because there's going to be more.
Sure.
I sent it in. I made sure they had it. I called the New York sports desk. "You got my story?" "Yeah." They say, "How do you know this?" I said, "We're going with it. Let's go." They put it out as a bulletin. Now, I walk out of the media room to the grass where Kovalhouse, they have a microphone set up. And just then, Fred Goodall's pulling up in his car. Well, he's pulling up, you know, I'm there with Puglisi,
sure.
Pat Zier, a couple other people waiting for Kovalhouse. Fred goes in, he puts his machine in the media room, he comes back out. He doesn't know I've already been in the media room. And, you know, he's waiting, and here comes Kovalhouse. The first thing he says is, you know, "With a sad heart, I must announce, you know, the dismissal of our coach, Ray Perkins. I'd like to thank Ray," and this and that. And, you know, and... What do I do? Only a Brooklyn boy would do this, who already has a bulletin out on the UPI wire. What do? I wait till Kovalhouse finishes a statement, and now I start firing questions at Kovalhouse for another 15 minutes. I give my bulletin another 15 minutes to soak up the wire. Goodall doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't think I filed anything. He thinks we're both going to walk into the media room together, and we'll file simultaneously. Well... After about 15 minutes, Kovalhouse says, "That's it, guys. I'm going inside." He walks in. We go into the media room. And just as we get in the media room, Goodall's phone starts ringing. Hello? Fred, this is the New York Sports Desk, Associated Press. What the hell's going on over there? Kaufman's been on the wire for 22 minutes. Where's your bulletin? Goodall says, what bulletin? 22 minutes ago, he said Perkins was fired. Get on the stick. Come on now. Let's go. Fred looks at me and goes, you're unbelievable, Kaufman.
So that, you pulled a filibuster.
Just to add insult to injury. To keep your, the filibuster.
Keep your story
at a 22-minute scoop, which is enormous in the wire sense.
You know, you could have gotten Goodall fired for that.
Well, I didn't want to do that. I just wanted to go out with a bang, which I did. Thank you, Pat Zier, for giving me accurate information. Now, somebody would say, now, wait a minute, Ira, that's irresponsible. You put out that he was fired. You didn't know that he was fired. Culverhaus hadn't admitted that. He hadn't acknowledged it. First, my answer is, I'm leaving UPI in 2 weeks. I'm taking my best shot. And two, if a man walks out with a shoebox and puts in his car and leaves, that's good enough for me. And it turns out I was right. I also thought I was right about Brett Favre coming to Tampa. That's a whole nother story. That might take up a whole nother podcast, Stephen.
We've heard that one before, but that's pretty good. I just have a visual of you. You know, any our younger listeners who are paying attention here, you know, there's no cell phone. There's no Twitter.
Heated competition between the two wire services. Heated.
Heated competition, you know, where you're talking McDonald's and Burger King.
A five-minute scoop is considered enormous. You know, it is.
Sure, and I'm sure by then it was already on the radio wires as well. So it was probably on your...
The New York station's carrying it because the Perkins connection.
Exactly. So, yeah, your news station in New York's got it. I don't know what time of day it was, but
it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
So, yeah, it's on all over the radio everywhere. And, you know, good for you, Ira, but you could have been wrong.
I don't even want to think about that. You know what's not wrong? This podcast.
All right. Get out of here, Sage. We'll see you next week. Leave Vita Vea alone, okay? Come on. The guy's got to eat.